G'day, and thanks for tuning into The Journey, wherever you are, right around the country, whether you be up there in the north, over in the west, down south in Victoria, or in one of the many places around New South Wales that take The Journey each and every week. You could be listening in via live streaming, you could be listening in via weekly podcasts, whatever it may be. Fantastic to have you joining us on this week's show, and I tell you what, we have got a brilliant show lined up for you this week. Well, footy season's over. All the grand finals are done and dusted. I hope you had plenty to cheer about. It comes and goes very quickly, these football seasons, don't they? Well, like everything else, time just seems to fly by. But I hope you've had plenty to cheer about over that period of time as we move in now into the cricket season and A-League about to kick off. There's always plenty to cheer about, which is good. And actually, Father Dave Callaghan from the NGLs is going to be talking to us a little bit today about Christianity not being a spectator sport. So that's a fantastic thing for us to look forward to on the show this week. We're of course going to hear from Sister Hilda Scott, and she's here for us every single week on The Journey. We're going to hear from Trish McCarthy. We're going to hear from Bruce Downs, the Catholic guy. Also going to hear from Byron and Francine Parola, our much sought after, much respected experts on marriage. And I'm really excited this week as well to be able to let our listeners hear an interview that I was lucky enough to get with Mr. Shane Bennett up at the Ignite conference in Brisbane recently. Now, Shane is the founder of the Emmanuel Community, which is a Catholic charismatic community up there in Brisbane. And the fruits of this community are just so widespread and wonderful right across that community, both within the Catholic Church, across denominations in terms of ecumenism, in terms of reaching out to people who have been on the fringes of faith. And it was really great to be able to have a chat to him up at the Ignite conference. And a big cheerio to all of our new listeners that might be listening in to the first time because they heard about The Journey up at that conference. Really, really good to have you on board. And I think you'll really like this week's show. We've got a lot of interviews coming up over the next few weeks with some fantastic people who were up at that conference in Brisbane, and really look forward to sharing all of those interviews with you in coming weeks. Time now, though, for this week's Gospel Reflection. It's from Matthew 22, verses 1 to 14, and this week's reading is for the 28th Sunday in Ordinary Time, right around the world. It doesn't matter where you are, that's where we're up to. Well, I hope you're enjoying this beautiful spring weather, wherever you are, right around the country. Time for our Gospel Reflection, and then we're going to move into some fantastic music. We're going to hear Glorious by Byron and Katie Tewalt. Faith, hope, love and life. You're listening to The Journey.
Here's this week's Reflection on the Gospel.
How crowded is heaven? How about hell? Theologians have debated this question for centuries. Some have taught that everyone, or almost everyone, will get to heaven. Others have argued that only a few will be saved. Who's right? No one really knows. Whatever the answer is, today's gospel reading makes one thing clear. Heaven isn't a matter of who is worthy or unworthy. It's a matter of who accepts God's invitation and who rejects it. Throughout the Gospels, we see Jesus using exaggeration to make his point. He doesn't really want us to cut off our hands or pluck out our eyes. He's doing a similar thing in today's passage by telling such an extreme story. But there's always a point to these exaggerations. We will all face a final judgment, and it's risky to remain indifferent or to treat his invitation lightly. Where do you stand? Have you done your risk and reward analysis? Take some time today to think about it. Whether you believe heaven is for the few or for the many, the risk of being kept away from it is too great to ignore. The good news is that none of us has to take that risk. God didn't mean for it to be hard for us to accept his invitation to eternal life. He hasn't set out a daunting obstacle course for us to master before he will admit us to heaven. All he wants us to do is to believe that Jesus has saved us and to try our very best to follow him. So when you wake up every day, tell the Lord, "Jesus, I believe you are my Savior and Lord. I accept your invitation. I don't want anything to keep me away from you today." And every evening before you go to sleep, tell him, "Lord, I'm sorry for the ways I failed you. Give me your grace to do better tomorrow." It's that simple.
Faith, hope, love, and life. This is The Journey.
You so brave.
together on the journey. Faith, hope, and love for life in all its fullness. Here's Sister Hilda with Wisdom from the Abbey.
It's a funny thing, and you will have noticed this yourself. When there are important relationships in our life, everything about life tends to speak of those relationships. You can look at two kookaburras sitting on a branch, and it will remind you of the last time that you and that important person were sitting together comfortably, companionably, sharing a deep unspoken moment often. Well, that's how it was with Jesus and his Father. Absolutely everything all around Jesus spoke to him of the love that was between them and the love that the Father has for us. Jesus could look at birds flying through the sky. Well, stacks of other people did too. But when Jesus looked at them, it talked to him of the love the Father has for us. See those birds up there? See those sparrows? Not one of them falls to the ground without your Father knowing. And those birds, you can pick those up in the marketplace really cheaply. And you're worth even more than those. And so it goes on. Jesus could look at the paddocks and the flowers and know that your heart, my heart, meant more to the Father, were more beautiful than the sight of all those flowers. This very day, God will be looking at so much, and it will speak to him of the love that he has for you. I do hope you see it today.
Welcome back to The Journey. I hope you're having a fantastic weekend, wherever you are right around the country. A big cheerio to all the young men from right around the country that have come together at a place called Stanwell Tops this weekend for the Young Men of God Conference. It's a fantastic opportunity for these guys to hear some fantastic speakers, be invigorated in their faith, renewed and revitalized, and ready to share the joy of the gospel with, well, those who they meet in their everyday life. Big cheerio to you guys. Hope you're having a great weekend up there at Stanwell Tops. We just heard from Sister Hilda Scott telling us all about two kookaburras and the wisdom that she gained from that. I tell you, Sister Hilda, doesn't matter what she looks at, she always relates it back to her loving God and has plenty of wisdom to share with us. Coming up, we're going to hear from Trish McCarthy, who's going to tell us about, well, the importance of making room in your life, and that means sometimes letting things go. But before we do that, I'm going to play a song by a young lady called Genevieve Bryant. I met Genevieve up at the Ignite Conference. She's one of the great Aussie Christian musicians that are coming through the ranks. She was up there at that conference running workshops on worship and music writing and songwriting. I'm going to play a little song today called Follow You. She's a real talent. Faith, hope, love and life. You're on the journey.
To earth to save. said, I can make your darkness bright. I'm gonna follow you, a life of love divine. Yeah, I'm gonna follow you, a life of love divine. I'm gonna follow you, a life of love divine. I sing it.
And now it's time for Milk and Honey with Trish McCarthy.
One of the principles I strive to live for in my life is simplicity and flow. One way I do this is if I buy something, a book, a piece of clothing as an addition, I aim to let go of something to make room or space for this addition. If I buy a t-shirt, I try and let go of a t-shirt. I believe it's important to let go of things in order to keep things moving forward, to create space and allow new opportunities, new adventures, new gifts to come into and flow through our life. It's a little bit like playing on the monkey bars. In order to move forward or traverse, you must let go of one hand, swing through and grasp the bar in front. This letting go is what creates momentum. If we don't, we get stuck, stifled. It becomes too tiresome to hang and hold our weight in the one spot. My encouragement for you this week is to let go of something and create space for new life. It may be an act of forgiveness or releasing into the ocean or fire something you've been holding on to. It may mean a trip to the local Vinnie store or a physical release of things you've been harbouring. Resentment, bitterness, guilt, pain. The joy of letting these things go in a symbolic or physical way creates space for new life, new opportunities, momentum and flow. God is the source of life, and it's a natural and physical principle that there is a lack of life in stagnant, sterile environments. So be brave. Let go.
You're listening to The Journey, great Christian radio for the whole family.
Welcome back to The Journey. Thanks very much for joining us and listening into this week's show. And you just heard from Trish McCarthy, who was talking to us all about simplicity and flow, letting go of some things to make some room. And a great example there with your t-shirts, Trish. I'll have to go and clean out the drawers and get rid of some. In other words, don't put too many extra things in your life without thinking about what you're going to let go of. A really good message. Thanks very much, Trisha. Time now for an interview. I was really privileged to get with Shane Bennett up at the Ignite conference. This guy was run off his feet up there at this most amazing conference that they ran for around 1,200 young people who came from all over the country to come to Brisbane and this wonderful event that was held up there. And it was great to be able to have a chat to Shane about what the Emmanuel communities are, what they do, and in particular, this outreach of the Ignite conference. Okay, let's get into it. I'm here with Shane Bennett, who's the head of and the founder of Emmanuel Communities in Brisbane. Shane, thank you very much for joining us on The Journey.
Thanks, Jude. It's good to be with you.
Now, for those listeners who don't know, the Emmanuel Communities are an amazing community based in Brisbane. They do fantastic works and have a real heart for reaching out to people who really don't know the truth of the gospel and need to have an encounter with Christ powerfully. They're a Catholic charismatic community, and Shane's the founder of them. Shane, can you tell us a little bit about how Emmanuel Communities came to be and what they're like today?
As you've mentioned, Jude, the Emmanuel Community grew out of the experience of the Catholic Charismatic Renewal, and it was really the result of a number of people feeling like they wanted more than a Friday night prayer meeting. And we'd had some experience of communities in the United States, and so Emmanuel began when four families and a single person came together and committed their lives to open their lives to the Holy Spirit to see how God would form a group of people into a community. And that's where it began.
Now, Shane, people have a lot of different ideas about what a religious community is. What is the nature of your community? And I understand it's bringing single people, families, young people all together with a united purpose.
As Emmanuel began in the 70s, sometimes people get us confused with hippie communes and all sorts of other things, which we are not. Families actually live in their own homes, and there are houses of single men and women. But one of the things that we've been led to do is to move geographically closer together in five or six regions of Brisbane to be able to offer one another some practical support in day-to-day living. Quite apart from the spiritual dimension of life, there's a whole lot of practicalities to be shared. And it also provides an opportunity for a little bit of common witness.
Now, Shane, I know the community exists to nurture people who want to belong to the community, but also as an extension of that, you're very much about giving people, anyone, an encounter with Christ through the Holy Spirit and drawing them into that real conversion experience. So for many people who perhaps have been nominally Christians all their lives, they come to a real encounter, powerful encounter with God's grace and Holy Spirit. Can you explain to us, first of all, how you support each other as a community, but also how you reach out in evangelizing and giving people an encounter with Christ's grace?
Community is always a challenge, and particularly in our secular environment. But I think one of the things that actually has been quite profound is to provide a sense of belonging for people. So when those who are coming to have a look at community or who are associated with us in our various works of mission, because in our missionary outreaches, not everybody is part of the Emmanuel community. We have many people who partner with us because they believe in the mission of reaching out to others without necessarily signing on the dotted line and committing everything to being part of a community. But, we seek to do the things that we consider absolutely essential to live a committed Christian lifestyle in today's secular world. We believe that it's necessary to have small groups where people can come together and share their life together and to grow more deeply in relationship with one another, to share faith with one another. We believe it's important for those who are starting out in their faith and wanting to grow to have the opportunity for a mentor. We believe in worshiping God together, and all of these elements are fundamental to our life together as a community. But that's blended with really practical things like sharing your mower, or looking after one another's kids, or doing the things that make up part and parcel of everyday life.
Sounds very much, Shane, like this sort of Acts community that was attractive, where people obviously loved one another, obviously supported one another, and that's a very attractive thing to people that are outside of communities and opens them to God's grace. One of the things that I've seen powerfully as part of the Ignite conference that you run is just how open your community is to sharing power of God's Spirit with people who might not have encountered that before. Can you tell us a little bit about the Ignite conference and how that came to be?
The Ignite conference really came into being as a result of the vision of one of our young worship leaders who wanted to run a conference for worship and for young people, for musicians. And so it sort of began as this eclectic mix of things that wasn't totally clear in the early days. And we gathered early on in the year 2001 with somewhere between 100 and 150 people. And we made a start. And I think with all of these incredible projects, there's a lot of things where you've just got to have a go and learn from having a go.
We'll have more of this interview with Shane Bennett straight after this break and a bit of music. He's Furious. Jeremy Riddle. Faith, hope, love and life. You're listening to The Journey.
His love is deep, his love is wide, and it covers. Your love is deep, your love is wide, and it covers us. Your love is fierce, your love is strong, it is furious. Your love is sweet, your love is wild, and it's waking hearts to life. Your love is deep, your love is wide, and it covers us. Your love is fierce, your love is strong, it is furious. Your love is sweet, your love is wild, and you're waking. Waking hearts to life.